So we are now in the third week of our summer sermon series. I have got that mixed up. Yeah. Summer sermon series called Riptide. And we've been looking at the comparison of what happens when you find yourself caught in a riptide to the life of King David. Now, we're not looking at one of his high points. We're looking at one of the lower points in his life, his not-so-stellar moment as the king of Israel. And so the past 2 weeks, we've looked at how David was at home when the scripture text says at the time where kings were out to war, David was at home, and he was not where he was supposed to be. And so one day while he is at home, he's walking around the palace, and he sees this lady bathing on the roof. He sees her, he desires her, and so he sends his men to get her and bring her to him. David and Bathsheba, they conceive a child. And so now David has a mess to clean up. We know from the text that he first of all tries to trick Bathsheba's husband Uriah into believing that he is the father. He tried to get him drunk and get him to lay with her. But Uriah says, "No, I cannot do that. My brothers are on the battlefield. I cannot be back home enjoying life when they are fighting." And so plan A fails for David, so he reverts to plan B. And plan B is to have Uriah put on the front line where he will most certainly die. And that is what happens. He is on the front lines of the battle, and he dies. And so we've looked at how in a rip current, you're in it before you even realize it, and it moves so rapidly, it goes against the flow of the tide. And so you're in the waves, you're playing, the waves are coming in, and the next thing you know, you're pulled out 30, 40 feet from the shore. And when you're caught in a riptide, they say not to fight it. But if you try to swim against it, you're just going to wear yourself out. If you try to out-strengthen it, it is going to win. They also say that if you're seeing someone in a riptide and you're going to, you know, attempt to save them, you must be aware that sometimes a drowning person can be the most dangerous thing for someone trying to save them, right? Because a drowning person will drown you. And so we compared how that David finds himself in this rip current of his life. He's at the wrong place. He's supposed to be out at battle. He sees Bathsheba. He lusts. He commits adultery with her. He has her husband killed. He brings in commanders to put him on the front lines. And so you just have this image of David being swept out, drowning, taking people down with him. And this morning we come to a passage of scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And I believe this morning that we find David in a different phase of the riptide. Now, in preparation for this sermon, I looked up some information about rip currents. And one thing that they say is, you know, don't fight the rip current. And the second thing that I found out is a rip current will let you go. It will let you go. It's not like you're just going to be circling the globe in this current until you figure out how to get out of it. A rip current will let you go. But the problem is, where does it let you go? Does it suck you back to the shore? No. It's eventually going to let go of you. And when it does, you're going to be out in the middle of the sea. You're going to be a good ways away from the shore. And I believe this morning, as we look at our passage of Scripture, we find David at this part of the analogy. The rip current has let go of David. He is out at sea, treading water. As we look at our passage of Scripture this morning, I would argue that he doesn't even realize that he's just out to sea. So, 2 Samuel chapter 12. So the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to tell David this story. There were two men in a certain town. One was rich and one was poor. The rich man owned a great many sheep and cattle. The poor man owned nothing but one little lamb that he had bought. He raised that little lamb, and it grew up with his children. It ate from the man's own plate and drank from his cup. He cuddled it in his arms like a baby daughter. One day a guest arrived at the home of the rich man, but instead of killing an animal from his own flock or herd, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and prepared it for the guest. David was furious. As sure as the Lord lives, he vowed, any man who would do such a thing deserves to die. He must repay four lambs to the poor man for the one he stole and for having no pity. Then Nathan said to David, you are that man. The Lord, the God of Israel, says, I anointed you the king of Israel and saved you from the power of Saul. I gave you your master's house and his wives and the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And if that had not been enough, I would have given you much, much more. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord and done this horrible deed? For you have murdered Uriah the Hittite with the sword of the Ammonites and stolen his wife. From this time on, your family will live by the sword because you have despised me by taking Uriah's wife to be your own. This is what the Lord says. Because of what you have done, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. You did it secretly, but I will make this happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan replied, yes, but the Lord has forgiven you, and you won't die for this sin. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I believe this morning that David's response to this story tells us a little bit about where he's at, right? I think that David he's been caught up in this vicious rip current. He's made poor decisions. He's brought people down with him. He's had a man killed. He's impregnated another woman. But at this particular point in David's life, I think that maybe he has breathed a sigh of relief. And he thinks that the worst is behind him. He is now let loose from this vicious cycle. But the problem for David is that David doesn't realize that he has been let loose in the middle of the sea, right? David's out here treading water. He in his mind, he thinks he's back on the shore. He made a mess, but he cleaned it up. Everything's okay. But nothing could be further from the truth. We kind of get this idea that he doesn't even see himself in the story, right? He gets angry. And Nathan says, well, you're that man. David was in need of someone to shake him, to make him realize that this is not all okay. You've not just cleaned up. There's a big mess. You've caused a huge domino effect. Your family, the dysfunction in your family for this one act is going to go for generations. And so David's out here. He's treading water. He doesn't even realize that he's just out in the middle of the sea in need of being saved. And so Nathan comes and he speaks this into David's life. And the scripture says that David repents, right? He confesses to Nathan what happened. And Nathan says, well, God has forgiven you. You see, I like the idea of repentance in light of this rip current analogy that we're using, right? The word repent means to turn around and go in the opposite direction. Where do you want to be if you're caught in a rip current? In the opposite direction, right? You want to be on shore. And so where David has gotten this pattern of poor decisions, terrible decisions, he's ruined people's lives, and he thinks that he's on the other side of it. He thinks that he's okay, but in reality, he's just simply in the middle of the sea treading water. How long can you tread water before you give out and collapse? And so here David is when Nathan comes to him. The rip current has let go of him. He's no longer cleaning up the mess, having people killed. And Nathan comes to him, and he speaks the word of the Lord, and David repents. I believe this morning, to stick with our analogy, it brings him back to the shore. David needed Nathan. To stick with our analogy this morning, Nathan was like a lifeguard David. What's the one thing that you're told as a little kid never to do in the water? Swim alone, right? Have someone with you. It's important that we recognize that David and Nathan had a good relationship. I believe this morning that David and Nathan, that they had a different type of relationship than most kings and prophets had. If you read the Old Testament, any given prophet could have come to a king that was wicked in the eyes of God, and that king would have killed the prophet, right? But David and Nathan have such a relationship that Nathan can come to him and say, this is what God has said. You've not gotten away with this. God has seen everything. And there's going to be punishment. But because you've confessed your sin, you've been forgiven of it. And so something that I noticed in this passage of Scripture, when we compare this to our lives, when we apply this metaphor of the rip current to our life, that we all need people in our lives who serve as lifeguards, right? We all need people who can speak to us, that can tell us, look, you're really getting off path here. You're really messing up here. And another thing that I realized is we sometimes need to be lifeguards for other people. God's just like you're told as a little child not to go and swim in the ocean alone. Because, you know, if you're out there by yourself and you get caught in a rip current, say you survive, you don't drown, and it lets go of you out in the middle of the sea, well, now what, right? Hopefully you can tread water a long time. What would have been really helpful is someone was on the shore who could call 911, right? Someone who could help you. You see, I believe that God has created us as human beings to need one another, to be this for one another. If we look at Paul's description of the body of Christ in Corinthians, I think that within a church, we're all going to, at one point or another, serve as a lifeguard and need a lifeguard. Because none of us are immune to the rip currents of this life. None of us are immune to it. It's going to happen. One thing that I find interesting about this passage of Scripture, and when you think about the analogy of being pulled out in a rip current, well, you want to go back to shore. And David was so either ashamed of what he did or so convinced that he had figured it out that he never went to God, the source of forgiveness, to the true way to get this problem fixed. And so I think that happens to us sometimes. Whether it's our pride or whether it's our shame, we just internalize it, we bottle it up, and we just push through. But in all actuality, we're out there treading water. And how long can we do that? How long can we just simply tread water in this life away from God, away from the shore, away from safety? Maybe you can think this morning that there's people in your life that you know are out there treading water. Maybe God's calling you to go to them and help them. Help them out. Maybe they are absolutely ashamed of the decisions they've made in their life, and they just simply need someone to come and love them and be there for them. I think what we can learn this morning is that God has created us for one another, that we need one another. I want to share a story that happened to me. I was not at the beach, and I did not get caught in a rip current. However, I did learn a hard lesson about allowing my ego to get me in a bad place. And luckily for me, I had someone with me who helped to check me. So a few years back, I was hiking with a buddy of mine, Philip. This is Philip. He worked with me at my last church, and we were hiking a trail that eventually would end up on Mount Mitchell. Mount Mitchell is the highest mountain this side of the Mississippi, and so it was like a 3-day gradual back way to get onto the mountain. And so we left my hometown in Statesville. It was one of those unusually warm March days. It was like 75, 80 degrees. It was sunny. We left, and we get there, and we set up. It's cold. It's significantly colder in the mountains. But as you can see, the weather didn't seem to be too drastic. So we set up camp, and we get up the next morning, and we start hiking. And within about an hour, we're in some snow. And within a couple of, maybe about 2 hours, we are in extremely deep snow. Now, in the next picture I want to show you, I had a Motorola Razr phone. How many of you remember the Motorola Razrs? Yeah. I brought it. It's good for chopping wood and getting rescued. You'll find out here in just a minute. Anyway, this is me with my little Motorola Razr phone. My friend Philip, he had an iPhone. And so I had been backpacking, and Philip was interested in backpacking. And so he come along with me. And so we're on day, we hiked the first little bit in. We spent the night. We started the next day. And I don't have a picture from our trip of this, but I did Google Mount Mitchell snow hike. And this came up from a guy's blog. And this is, honest to goodness, this is exactly what we got ourselves into. It was snow up to our waist, and we would take a step and sink down. Just take a step and sink down. But I was so stubborn that we had seen some snow tracks where some guys had some snowshoes and they were hiking. So I'm like, oh, we're good. Let's follow the snow tracks. So we keep following the snow tracks, and we put hours in to just following this path. And my friend's like, are you sure about this? I'm like, yeah, we're good. We're good. This is going to be great. And so we get to a point where we no longer see the snow tracks. My friend's phone, his handy-dandy iPhone, it, like, cut off because it was so cold. And luckily, I had my little Motorola Razr. It still had signal. My friend's like, well, could you call and find out if there's a different type of trailblaze we need to be looking for? And so I call the park ranger, and immediately I knew that I had done something wrong just simply from the tone of her voice. And I asked her, I said, I can't see trailblazes. Are there different trailblazes when there's snow on the ground? And she's pretty much like, you idiot. She said, this is no lie. This is almost a direct quote. She's like, you're going to turn around and you're going to go back and you're going to call me. And she gave me her cell phone number. You're going to call me by 11 o'clock tonight. And if you do not call me by 11 o'clock tonight, I'm going to send a helicopter and it's going to cost you $10,000. And I said, yes, ma'am. So we got all the way out of the woods. But the point being, just like David out there treading water, I was foolish enough to think that I had this figured out. I'm just going to keep pushing through snow up to my waist. I look back, it's like, how ignorant. But at the moment, I had Philip, and I wanted to impress him. And I had taken the weekend to go hiking. I didn't want to go back. But it took Philip to say, maybe we should call someone. And it definitely took the park ranger to tell me it was going to be very expensive if I don't call her later that from my vehicle. And so what are the moments in our lives where all the warning signs say to stop, right? But we just keep pushing forward because we know what's best and we know what we want. It's not always having an affair with Uriah's wife, right? There are different things in our lives that we get caught up in rip currents, but the reality is we just get deeper and deeper and further away from the shore because we're not willing to accept help. We're not willing to accept the lifeguards in our lives. We all need lifeguards. Now, after the first service, someone came to me and said, Jesus is that ultimate lifeguard. And I said, you're absolutely right. Jesus is that lifeguard. He is the one that saves us. But I also believe that Jesus has called us to be lifeguards for one another, to be lifeguards for those people just like David, just like myself, who don't even know that they need a lifeguard, right? They're so far in. They're either so full of themselves or they're so full of shame that they don't even recognize that they need to be rescued. They've convinced themselves that they can do this, They can figure it out. But how long can they tread water? I mean, who knows what would have happened? I may not even be here today if I would have been foolish enough to try to keep going and camp on that mountain. We need these people. We need to be these people, and we need to receive these people when God puts them in our lives. So where are you at in your life this morning? Are you in a rip current? Are you treading water? Are you in the middle of the chaos? Are you not? Are you at a place where you're looking around and you see someone that you know needs your help? What choices are we going to make? Are we going to be humble and help others and open ourselves up to help? Or are we going to be swept out to sea and just see how long can we tread water in this life until we just give out? Amen.
As we come to our close of our service,